Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of 12th Apostolic Sabbath Training Congregation outside of Bellevue in Elgin, Texas. Today is May the 7th, 2023, or it is the 18th day of Zip, 2027. We will start our first service today with a song.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need that tenderest care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our yeast and fruits prepare. Blessed Yahshua, blessed Yahshua, has brought us kindly home. Blessed Yahshua, blessed Yahshua, has brought us kindly home. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be their guardian, help our way. Keep the flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Yahshua, blessed Yahshua, he'll hear us when we pray. Blessed Yahshua, this is Yahshua, he'll hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. And thou hast mercy to relieve us, praise to kings and power to free. This is Yahshua, blessed Yahshua, you will hear he turn to thee. Blessed Yahshua, blessed Yahshua, we will hear he turn to thee.
And then with a prayer, the name of our sermon today is taken from One Time of Greetings number 41, and it's entitled The Fruits of the Anointed One. This is a text of address May the 17th, 1947 by the Vicky Holler, Shepherd Rod. It says Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. For the Spirit of the Yahweh is upon me, because the Yahweh hath anointed me for the preaching of the good tidings unto the meek, for he hath sent me for the binding up of the brokenhearted, and for proclaiming liberty unto the captives, and for the opening of the prison unto them that are bound, for the proclaiming of the acceptable year of the Yahshua, the Son, and the day of the vengeance of our Yahweh, for to comfort all that mourn. These are the two verses that the Yahshua read as he stood in the synagogue of the city of Nazareth, the place where he was brought up. For he read these verses and then sat down without making any comment, as his listeners were still in a stupor as to what he had read and then had sat down without the adding of a word. So Yahshua rose again and said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Okay, it says, for the reason given for the Spirit's power upon him is that the Yahweh, the Father, had anointed him for the preaching of the good tidings unto the people, unto the meek, implying that if the Yahweh had not anointed him for the preaching, the Spirit of the Yahweh would not have been on him. Moreover, he was anointed for the preaching unto the meek, unto those who are not self-sufficient, not high-minded, but humble and teachable. The other class could not be taught, for he was to comfort all that mourn, to bind up the brokenhearted, for the proclaiming liberty unto the captives, not to free them immediately. For the acceptable year of the Yahshua is of the time and which the scripture is fulfilled. The time it is unsealed and proclaimed. Those who give no heed unto it are to be swept away in the day of his vengeance. These were the good tidings for which Yahshua was anointed. Unbelief and indifference is revealed, and the revealed truth is an insult unto the Yahweh, the Father, and a sin against the Holy Spirit, who leads into all the truth. Okay, so simply because the Savior preached these two verses, however, we must not conclude that the whole chapter was then fulfilled, or that the fulfillment of these two verses could not again be fulfilled in the time that the rest of the chapter is fulfilled, as the same Spirit was also upon the apostles, upon those who furthered Yahshua's message in that day. So also it must be in this day, in the day that the whole chapter is fulfilled. For the duty of those who proclaim the chapter, this chapter is a message, is Isaiah 61:3. For the appointing unto them that mourn in the Zion, for the giving unto them of beauty for ashes, for the oil of the joy for the mourning, for the garment of the praise, for the spirit of the heaviness, that they might be called trees of the righteousness, the planting of the Yahweh, that he might be, or the Yahshua, the Son, that he might be glorified. For the burden of the Spirit is to improve the spiritual conditions of those who mourn in Zion, the church to give them beauty for ashes, for repentance and humbleness, all a joy for mourning, present truth that hopefully lightens the rest of the way, and garments a character to pray so that they be as living ornaments of the righteousness, a new creation of the Yahweh, that he be glorified. Here is saying that the original creation of the Yahweh, which had been lost through sin, is to be restored. Now is the acceptable day to open your hearts, to take that present truth, to recreate and restore that which was lost through a sin. Isaiah 61:4. And they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolation, and they shall repair their waste cities, the desolations of the many generations. Those who are made glad and beautiful, who are clothed with the praise, and who become trees of the righteousness, the planting of the Yeshua, his triumphant servants, the guileless Ezra and Nehemiah of today, are to restore all things, Isaiah 61:5. And strangers shall stand and feed your flock, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. The stranger and aliens here mentioned are not the strangers and aliens unto the kingdom of the Yahweh, but unto the nation, not a blood relation to Judah and Israel, not of the stock of Jacob, not of the 144,000 who first stand on the Mount Zion, but with them, Isaiah 61:6, that ye shall be named the priest of the Yahweh. Men shall call you the ministers of our Yahweh. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourself in the forthcoming antitypical kingdom of the Judah. Therefore, there shall be two groups of people, ministers and a laity. These scriptures, we see that the kingdom of the Yahweh, the church purified, free from the terrors, is a real thing. It is not something imaginary, not something forming, floating, and lost in space, but right here on the earth. Isaiah 61:7. For your shame you shall have double, and for the confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. Ought to have double because of the shame which they have endured. Also shall rejoice in their portion. Are you disposed to suffer for the Assyrian sake? Are you like or unlike those who seek joy and friendship from the world, and who sooner or later are to find themselves in their great disappointment? Believe, that is all. Isaiah 61:8. To either Yeshua, or let's just go back to the Father, Yahweh loved judgment. I hate robbery for the burnt offering. And I will greatly work in the truth, and will make an everlasting covenant with them. Judgment and justice is Yahweh's motto for all his creatures. For the statement, I hate robbery for the burnt offering, implies that such unbecoming things are now practiced among the people, his people. In this connection, some years ago I heard a certain member of the church say that in some kind of gammon we had won a little money, and as his conscience heard him to keep it, he gave it as an offering to his church. Also, I have heard several say that they work on the Sabbath, that they turn the Sabbath earnings over to the church. These incidents, they serve as samples of how foolish are uneducated in the things of Yahweh or the people of the Yahweh. By bringing such offerings unto him, they are making Yahweh a gambler and a Sabbath breaker. And at the same time, they imagine that they are doing him a great favor. For the Yahweh promise unto his people is, I will direct their work in the truth. Are we then to question his ability to perform and at the same time expect him to give us a home in his kingdom? And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed that the Yahweh hath blessed. What a blessed hope, what a power for the saving both of the young and of the old, and for the making their names known worldwide, for such such a fame as this, people would go through almost any torture known to mankind. Yahweh, though, is only asking you to believe and to comply with his word. Yes, that is all. Christianity is to become a real thing. So real that the Gentiles will acknowledge that such believers can only be the planting of the Yahweh, and that only the power of the Yahweh can bring such a change in the human heart and cause his saints to say, Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Yahweh. My soul shall be joyful in my Yahweh, for he has clothed me with the garments of the salvation. He has covered me with the robe of the righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh herself with the ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. This chapter of Isaiah the prophet is indeed to bring a revival and reformation such as never taken place since the beginning of sin. For the Yahweh forbid that anyone of earth should miss the experience and the lessons that come through this revival and reformation. Isaiah 61:11. Whereas the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Yahweh will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Through the seed of the truth in the heart, this experience will come unto Yahweh. Yahweh's people, as naturally as does the earth, cause the seed sown in it to bud and bring forth fruit. This is indeed the righteousness of the Yahshua, not the might of men. Summing up this study, we learn that the fruits of the Anointed One are these: that Yahshua was anointed for the preaching of the good news, news that he was to open the prison door of sin, for the binding up of the wounds of Yahweh's people, for the proclaiming of the acceptable year of the Yahshua, for the comforting of those who mourn, and for the giving all an opportunity for the escaping of the day of the vengeance, his vengeance, that because he was thus anointed, he was fitted for the comforting them that mourn in Zion, for the bringing beauty for the ashes, the oil of the joy for the mourning, and the gift of the praise, and the place of the heaviness, that they might be called trees of the righteousness, that Yahweh might thereby be glorified, that through the gift of the Spirit his people shall be enabled to build up the desolate places of the many generations, that those who are called now are to be ministers of Yahweh, and they shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and glory in them, and strangers and aliens shall be the herds of the shepherds and vine dressers, that then their shame and confusion will be changed into the everlasting joy, that as the Yahweh has robbery, he will direct their work and the truth and make an everlasting covenant with them that know him, that then their seed shall be known unto the Gentiles and among the people, and they will acknowledge that Yahweh has blessed his people, that because the anointed one clothes his people with the garment of the salvation and the robe of the righteousness, the testimony of the children will be, I will greatly rejoice in the Yeshua, and as the bride adorns herself with the jewels, so the spiritual adornments given to these gifts will bring on the revival and reformation, and that a nature, as the nature brings to fruition the seed sown in the ground, so the anointed one will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Now this is the anointed one. Now sure is this anointed one. Okay, so now that's all you got to look no further. Is that word anointed, wherever it's connected, that's the one it's referring to. Ample provisions have been made for all who sincerely, earnestly, and thoughtfully set about the work of the perfecting holiness and the fear of the Yahweh. Strength, grace, and glory that has been provided to the Asir to be brought by the ministering angels unto the heirs of salvation. None are to so low, so corrupt, and vow that they cannot find in Yahshua, who died for them, strength, purity, and righteousness. If they will put away their sins, cease their course of iniquity, and turn with full purpose of heart to the loving Yahweh, he is waiting to strip them of their garments, stained and polluted by sin, and to put upon them the white bright robes of the righteousness, and that he bids them live and not die, and him they may flourish. Their branches will not wither, nor be fruitless. If they abide with him, they can draw sap and nourishment from him, be imbued with his spirit, walk even as he walked, overcome as he overcame, and be exalted unto his right hand. Testimony, Volume 2, page 453. Okay, let's go into Time of Greetings, Volume 1, number 42. And in the title of this Time of Greetings is entitled Zion's Reward and Yahweh's Mighty Effort. Okay, so it says the prayer thought on the Mount of Blessing, page 205. The only hope for us, if we would overcome, is to unite our will to the Yahweh's will and work in the cooperation with him hour by hour and day by day. We cannot retain self and yet enter into the kingdom of the Yahweh. If we ever attain unto holiness, it will be through the renunciation of self and the reception of the mind of Yahshua. Pride and self-sufficiency must be crucified, all are willing to pay the price as part of us, are we willing to have our will brought into the perfect conformity and to the will of Yahweh? Until we are willing, the transforming grace of Yahweh cannot be manifest upon earth. We shall now kneel and pray for the understanding that our hope of the having a home in Yahweh's kingdom depends upon uniting our will with His will and upon the laboring and the cooperation with Him. That holiness depends upon renouncing self and accepting Yahshua. That pride has no place in the believer's heart. That the transformation of the grace of the Yahweh is obtained by our conforming unto His word. Okay, it says that God's reward in Yahweh's mighty effort. May 24th, 1947, by B.T. Howard. It says that we shall study the 62nd chapter of the Isaiah. The very first things we need to know about the chapter is whether it was written especially for the people of today or especially for the people of yesterday, and whether its message is to be given unto the church or to the world. To find out, we shall read the 11th verse. Behold, the Yahweh hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye unto the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Isaiah 62:11. Behold, says Yahweh, I have proclaimed unto the end of the world, not unto some other time. For this divine proclamation, therefore, is for those who are living in the time of the end. Unto them the chapter is now unsealed, and their commission is to take it unto the daughter of Zion, unto the church. You cannot therefore afford to excuse yourself from this call for the service. Isaiah 62:1. For the Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for the Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth in brightness, and the salvation thereof is a lamp that burns. Here we are told that Yahweh will continue to just to speak, not for the sake of the world, but for the sake of the church, the Seventh-day Adventist church, so that they may eventually stand on the Mount Zion with the Lamb. Well, we know the 144,000 as the first fruit of the Seventh-day Adventist church harvest is going to stand on the Mount Zion with the Lamb. That he will thus continue until the righteousness thereof go forth as the brightness, and the salvation thereof is a lamp that burneth. This implies that the righteousness of his people at the proclamation of this chapter is but dimly, if at all, going forth, and that the separation is not now as a lamp that burneth, but as a lamp, the light of which is gone out. His mighty effort is nevertheless to bring forth a great change. The righteousness of the Yahshua is to shine forth as bright as the sun. For the conclusion then is that without the additional message, the church will never reach her goal. And anyone's unconcerned attitude in this urgent call for the service, they're sure to bring his dinner. But Yahweh's true people are never the less to awaken and embrace the call under them as a church, says the Yahweh, Isaiah 52:2. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all things thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Yahweh shall name. For the righteousness of the Zion shall be so pronounced that the Gentiles shall be attracted by it, and all their kings by her glory. It is for this very reason that the present church name will not then be befitting her. As you know, there are now hundreds of church names in the world, as many names as there are isms, all of which are named by the mouth of men. Although Yahweh recognizes that one church, many of the names even suggest divine competition. For instance, do not the names Church of Christ and the Church of God make Christ and God their competitors? Whatever the new name be, it will entirely befit the church and her righteousness as here projected. We are now living in a confused world. Some are of the Paul and some of the Apollos, and of Cephas, Peter, John, and James, some of Yahweh and some of Yahshua, the Son. For the believers are thus bickering and quarreling among themselves, one speaking against the faith of another, and at the same time all are trying to convert unto Yahshua, the non-Christian world. What darkness for the church, which the Yahweh is now creating, he says. Isaiah 62:3, thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Yahweh, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy Yahweh. For the church here projected is to be made up only of a righteous spiritual people. Her new name is doubtless to express this fact. Wonderful indeed to be the Yeshua's crown of glory and his royal diadem. You surely cannot afford to let this glory get away from you up to date. Isaiah 62:4, thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Yahshua delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. Because the Yahshua is to delight in her, and also because her land is to be married unto her, she is also to be called Hephzibah, and her land Beulah. The church in the times past has been forsaken a number of times. Once in Egypt, then in Babylon, and then in Rome, and so on. But she is never again to be forsaken, and her land is never again to be left desolate. Genesis, Isaiah 62:5. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee, and as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy Yahweh rejoice over thee. Marriage signifies an everlasting union. Thus the church has the promise that her homeland shall now forever be hers and her sons. Converts, shall never part from her. Isaiah 2:6-7. I have set watchmen upon thy wall, O Jerusalem, that shall never hold their peace day nor night. He that make mention of the Yashur keep not silent, and give him no rest till he establish and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Now that he was set, he has already set watchmen that shall never neglect their duty, night or day. And so ye that now make mention of the Yeshua ought not to keep silent, but praise him and speak of his wonderful love and truth. Now is your opportunity for the promoting of his cause, to make it your chief business. Your choice itself, your highest joy. Now is the time to say, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave unto the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, Psalm 137:5-6, unto this sin pray and work, give him no rest until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Let this be your delight as you are his delight. Isaiah 62:8-9, the Yeshua has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast labored, that they have that they that have gathered it shall eat it, and praise the Yeshua, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the course of my holiness. For the Yahweh's people have been robbed time and again, and the most outrageous and unreasonable robbery that they have suffered has been and still is being done by their own brethren in the faith. How? At every upward step in the truth throughout the Seventh-day Adventist Church's history and down unto this day. Those who have ever embraced new, unpopular truths have in every instance been thrown out of the church which they helped build. This has been done only because, on the one hand, the majority have ever ruled, and on the other hand, only the minority have ever been susceptible to the present truth for the meat and the due season. For the time is here, though, in which all manner of robbers shall cease. And to those who are being cast out, this encouraging counsel and promise is given. Hear the word of Yahweh, ye that tremble at his word, for your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Yahweh be glorified, that he shall appear unto your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Isaiah 66:5. Isaiah 62:10. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way. I have the people cast up the highway. Gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. For the Yeshua now repeatedly asks everyone within the hearing of his voice to fearlessly go through Zion's gates and say unto her, Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. We therefore cannot do otherwise but go through, for it is our Yahweh given duty to prepare the way for the people. We must build a highway, a way for them to come over unto the light of the Yahweh and thus enter his kingdom. We must gather out every obstacle that stands in the way and must lift up a standard for the people, a standard which they can see and follow. As it leads ahead, what could the standard be? The very standard that the people are to see and to follow is Yeshua and his truth. Or the Yeshua, the Son, and his truth. Isaiah 62:11, Behold, the Yeshua hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye unto the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. This verse, as we learned at the beginning of our study, shows the two things. First, that this chapter definitely contains a message for the church at the end of the world. Second, that since it proves that this chapter is now for the first time being unsealed and brought unto our attention, we are sent with a message unto the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and definitely shows that we have come unto the time of the end, the time in which man-made institutions are forever to pass away. For the word behold suggests that we should now take notice and be able to see that our salvation cometh, and that while his reward is with him, his work is still before him. So when Yahshua comes to the second time, here in the hardest time, in the 12th parabolic hour, the last probationary time, he will come with his work before him. In other words, for the seating of the people and anointing them and binding them up and getting their position and directing the harvest with the 144,000. And that great army in Joel chapter 2 and that great army in Revelation 9:16. What is his reward? What else could it be but the life forevermore? So it shall be that the first fruits, 144,000, the servants of Yahweh, who are soon to stand on the Mount Zion with the Lamb, shall be the first to be rewarded as servants of Yahweh. They shall carry on the work that is before him, the work of the gathering of the second fruits as set forth by the Isaiah the prophet. That's in Revelation 7:9, the great multitude from all nations, kindred, tongue, race, and people. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape from this, the slain of the Yeshua, verse 16, of them unto the nation, unto the Tarshish Pearl, and Lud, that draw the bow, the two bow, and even to the hour of the fall, that have not heard my tent, neither have seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles, and they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto thee. That's sure out of the own nation, upon the horses and in the chariots and in the litters, upon mules, upon swift beasts in my holy mountain. Jerusalem said to Yahshua, as the children of the Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel unto the house of the Yahshua. Isaiah 66:19-20. For the choice is now future, either to line up with the Yahweh's truth for this time, to accept his salvation and to prepare for the work that is before him, for the gathering of his saints, or to remain aloof and to be spewed out. Let us make the better choice now, lest we soon find ourselves in the outer darkness, there to weep and to gnash our teeth. Isaiah 60:12, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Yahshua, by his blood, and thou shalt be called, sought out as a city not forsaken. If you do all that the Spirit of the Yahweh bids you to do, you shall be of the holy people, the redeemed of the Yahshua, sought out, not forsaken. And now, for the summarizing of the study opens with the words, behold, the Yahshua has proclaimed unto the end of the world, unto the Seventh-day Adventist Church of today, she is to be the Yahshua's crown of the glory. Well, that's her fruit. The first fruit will be the 144,000. It's going to be the crown of the Adventist glory. And his royal diadem, no longer will she be called forsaken, nor will her land be called desolate. That these titles are to be changed respectively unto Hephzibah and Beulah, meaning Yahweh will delight in his people and their land. That Yahweh is to rejoice over his church as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride. That he has now set watchmen upon the walls of the Jerusalem, who shall never neglect their duty, that they shall not keep silent, that they shall praise the Yahshua, and he be zealous to do whatever they can in the furnished furtherance of his kingdom, that he has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, that he will no longer give his children meat to the enemy, that strangers will no more rob them of that which they work for, that what they produce will indeed be their own, that his people have again and again been robbed of their spiritual life, that when the light of the Yahweh came to them, the enemies barred the light away from them, at least for a time. That we are now admonished for the hearing of the word of the Yahshua, for which cause the brethren, fellow or church members, hate us so that they cast us out from among them. This they do in the name of the Yahshua, that they shall be ashamed, and when he appears unto our joy and unto their shame, that we are commanded to go through the gates of Laodicea. Again, that means go through the gates of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And Gilead Center was the last one to be with the title and label Laodicea, third feeding pasture for the Adventist. And that was the judgment of the dead. 1970-2003, for the judgment of the dead ended in 2003. And to prepare the way for the people to cast up the highway, to remove the barriers, to raise a standard for the people, to show unto them that the Yahshua has proclaimed unto the end of the world, to tell the daughter of Zion that her salvation is coming, that his reward is with him, and his work before him, that those who escape the slaying of the Yahshua will be sent unto all nations and unto the isles of the sea, and to the people who have not heard of the Savior, that they shall bring all their brethren unto the house of Yahshua. You certainly now see Zion's reward and Yahweh's mighty effort for the informing you of this truth. You surely will do all you can to escape Yahweh's vengeance and to join this layman's movement for the gathering of the people. Okay, this is the end of time of greeting number 42. Number 43, time of greeting number 1. The name of this sermon is The Year of His Redeem, the Sign of the Day of the Vengeance. Vicki Holliff, May 31st, 1947. We are to study the 63rd chapter of the Isaiah. In this chapter, we find recorded a prophetic conversation among three persons: the prophet, Yahshua, and a person living at the time that the prophecy of this chapter is fulfilled. Okay, so we got this third person now. Whoever gives the interpretation of this prophecy and the year of its fulfillment, that would be this third person. For the subjects of the conversation are Edom, that's the house of Esau, the throne of the firstborn son of Isaac of the flesh, ancient Israel, their deliverance from Egypt, and the people's redemption and the day that this scripture is fulfilled. For the part that should concern us most is to know the time. To gain this information, I shall read verse 16. Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Yahshua, Yahweh, art our father, our and Yahshua, the Son, is our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting, Isaiah 63:16. For the words of the person speaking in the behalf of the people who are brought face to face with the revelation of this chapter reveal that he and his people are unknown unto Abraham, since Abraham well knew of the rise of the ancient Israel, but understood practically nothing of the rise of the apostles of the New Testament, or Yahshua's apostle of the New Testament. Then the apostles must be the people of whom he is ignorant. For the truth then stands out clearly that this chapter finds its fulfillment in the apostolic, antithetical apostolic era of these last days in the harvest time of Earth's history, in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in right now. Now for defining whether it is concerning the early or latter day apostolics, we shall read verse 18 and 19, also Isaiah 64, 10, 11, for the subject matter of chapter 64 is but a continuation of chapter 63. For the people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. We are thine. Thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name, Isaiah 63, 18 and 19. Thine adversaries, the Catholic Church, has trodden down thy sanctuary. For the holy cities are a wilderness, Zion is a wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our father's crazy, is burned up with the fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste, Isaiah 64, 10 and 11. Here is seen that the longing of the people is for the restoration of the temple. That's David's temple now. This is the tabernacle of David that is in Amos chapter 9. Talks about Yahshua raised up the tabernacle of David these last days, and for the repossession of the promised land. Now the fact that the temple and the land are still in the hands of the Arabs and unbelieving Jews, those who were never called by his name, never called, even, we call Jesus the word Christian to it, never call, I'm talking about apostolic believers of the Nazarene creed, I believe in Yahshua. It's proof positive that chapter 63 and 64 fulfill in the latter part of the antithetical apostolic era, the part in which the time of the Gentiles and the promised land is fulfilled. Moreover, that these chapters are now unveiled for us, and also the fact that the message for today has caused us to cry unto the Yahshua for just such a delivery. The fact so that the time for the fulfillment of the prophecy that is in these chapters is already here. Since you now, Father, said you know that these chapters are concerning you and me, we are ready to start the study of the chapters, verse by verse, starting with Isaiah 63:1. Okay, we're going to bring the study to a close now, and we're going to pick up Isaiah 63, verse 1, at the beginning of our next study. And we're going to have it a brand new study. So this brand new study, our contact is at the 11th hour call. It's number 11, click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. The solid rock. My hope is built on nothing less than precious blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the seeded strength, but wholly lean on Yahshua's name. On Yahshua the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. And darkness fails his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds swift in the veil. Only Yahshua the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Please don't discover, let his blood support me in the woman's blood. And all around my soldiers lay, even is all my hope and stay. And just for the solid rock or stone, all of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. And he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then rest in his righteousness alone, fruitless to stand before the throne. On the solid rock of sand, all of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand.